Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Dr. Kevin Most is with us. He's the chief medical officer at Northwestern's Central DuPage Hospital. How you doing, Dr. Most?
Bob, I'm just trying to stay warm, but doing fine.
Yeah. You don't have to remind people to wear a mask today, because if you're out and about, you just wear it to stay warm, right?
Yeah, that's surprising. People are probably trying to wear three or four masks on a day like today, but it actually does. It goes over your nose. It decreases your chance of frostbite, that's for sure.
Clear this up now, because in the last week, there have been all sorts of reports about different masks, double masking. I'm curious about whether the cloth mask is better or that blue surgical mask. What can you tell us about masks?
Yeah, so everyone's like, well, wait, why all of a sudden are we being asked to wear two masks or told to wear two masks? We have to remember that initially when we were wearing a mask, it was to protect others from us in case we were asymptomatic carriers. So we would wear a mask, and the vast majority of the virus, if it were to leave our mouth or nose, would be captured by this mask. Right now, with the variants going as spreading as much as they are, and all the mitigation and the rates that we're having right now, the CDC is saying, hey, let's wear two masks. The one mask, certainly the blue surgical mask, the very simple cloth mask, great. Wear that. Put a cloth mask over that. Two things happen. One, it takes your chance of getting infected up to about 92% protection. And two, probably the most biggest impact of it is, it holds that paper mask in place. You've all seen people where the mask drops down below their nose or is at their chin. So with wearing the two masks, it holds them in place more tightly and gives you protection as well as protect others from you.
Now, if you're wearing an N95, you don't need to double mask, do you?
Well, it depends. There's a lot of N95s out there. The N95 that we all wear in the hospital, we're fitted for. So we know that it's tight across our face. It's very, very secure. A lot of people wearing N95s in the community because they think they're better are the same as wearing the blue mask because they're not well fitted. They haven't been fitted to their face to make sure that they get the 95% protection. So essentially, anybody who's wearing an N95 in the public, in a loose-fitting one, you're wasting your money. You might as well go back to the simple blue paper masks, because they're going to give you as much protection as the N95 just because of the fit.
And isn't there's another 95 mask that's not an N95, right?
Correct. There's a KN95. The KN95, you've probably seen people wear it. A lot of people that wear it are construction workers. So it's more of a cone that goes over, and it still blocks out 95% particulates. And it's used in the construction industry when you're using fine dusting and grinding. Again, not fitted directly to the face, but certainly the material itself is very protective.
We're getting a lot of questions about kids. Anything new on when the vaccine would be available for children 16 and under?
Yeah, it's interesting. You've probably heard Dr. Fauci last week saying that he expects the vaccine to be available by the time school rolls out for all children. So I can just tell you what's going on right now. Pfizer currently has a study going on for 12 to 15-year-olds. Moderna has a study going on for 12 to 17-year-olds. University of Nebraska has a study going on for 6-month-olds to 12-months-old. And Duke just announced yesterday that they have a study as well. So we're looking at the big studies, the Pfizer, the Moderna, and the Duke, looking at that 12 to 17 range. Not seeing the numbers that we expected that we saw in adult trials, 30,000, 40,000, 60,000. For these trials, they're looking more at 2,000 and 3,000. And the Omaha study at the University of Nebraska really only has 60 people in it. I shouldn't say 60, 60 children in it. And they're looking at much younger age groups of 6 to 12 months.
When you look at the numbers now here in the Chicago area and around the country, which seem to be going down as far as the number of cases and deaths, do you think the worst is finally behind us?
Yeah, I think there's a combination here. And like you said, the 7-day average admission below 100,000, down from 250,000 just a month ago. Hospitalizations have been cut in half since January. So certainly that is all promising. I think two things happen here. One, do we get some complacency? You've seen a lot of states that have taken off their mask, mandatory mask wearing, which is unfortunate. You also have the variants coming out. If we continue with this mitigation the way we are, and our vaccinations are going up, we'll certainly see this trend continue, and we'll be in a much better place come late spring and summer.
It's our Monday morning house call with Dr. Kevin Most. And Dr. Most, let me get in a few listener questions here, starting with this one. I got my first shot Thursday, and my second shot is scheduled for the 12th of March, 29 days later. I got the Pfizer, which they say is supposed to be administered in 21 days. Is that okay? Should I try to reschedule for 21 days? What's the story on that?
Yeah, it's okay. You're not going to see that big of an impact. What we're really trying to do in most places that are doing vaccines are trying to do is say, take it 21 days. Boy, that's the next day we're going to have our clinic. I think you'll see as we start to see more and more places offering the vaccine that you're going to see some flexibility there. So the science isn't exact down to the day. Certainly you don't want to get it earlier, but you could probably, as a matter of fact, they're showing in the UK that you can get up to 12 weeks later and still get the same response.
Yeah, and we have a lot of questions about preparing for the vaccine. When you get the first or the second shot, do you need to get a little more sleep before you get vaccinated? Do you need to do anything special regarding food and drink or medication?
No, I mean, take all your normal medications that you would, even if you take, say, Advil, ibuprofen for arthritis. You know, we're classically telling people who don't need that medication to not take it prior to, just because you want the inflammatory response to be there. I would say the biggest thing we should do is do what we do at this time of the year anyways, is really do everything you can to strengthen your immune system. Get enough sleep, eat properly. I'd say the big one that I am pushing right now is vitamin D. We are not getting enough vitamin D from sunlight, obviously, just because of the amount of sunlight that we have right now. So through the winter, definitely should be taking vitamin D, because that's very important in our immune system. So I would say, hey, if you know you want to prep for the vaccine, get some rest, take your vitamins D, you know, at least continuously, and that's about it. There's nothing else you really need to do.
Yes, no sun to speak of. And if we're taking a vitamin D supplement, is that as good as getting vitamin D from various foods?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually probably more concentrated than it would be in foods, but certainly taking a supplement, especially through the winter, and especially not only through the winter, but through the winter when it's this cold. You know, no one wants to go outside these last couple of days, even during the day when they're off, and that's how we naturally get vitamin D. And you have to remember, even in the winter when we go out, the amount of our skin that is exposed to the sun is minimal, right? It's mainly just a portion of our face. Where in the summer, we're making vitamin D all the time because we have short sleeves on, we have shorts on, we're outside more. So really, people have to understand that the importance of supplementing vitamin D through the winter is there.
Tell me if this is still true. I was reading this over the weekend. It's not yet known if either the Moderna or the Pfizer vaccine prevents asymptomatic infection with the virus, nor is it known if vaccinated people can transmit the virus if they do become infected but don't show symptoms. Is that still an accurate report?
That is an accurate report. That's why we're all still wearing masks even post-vaccination. So I've received both my vaccines, but yet I still wear a mask every day. That study is being done. During the initial study for Pfizer and Moderna, they did not do that, and there was many reasons why they didn't. AstraZeneca, however, did, and they showed that about 66% of people will not be asymptomatic carriers going forward. Pfizer and Moderna doing that study right now, but the reason that they didn't do it is because they had, you know, the two classes. They had the guys that got a placebo and they had those that got the actual virus, and to do the testing on them would have been too burdensome. AstraZeneca did the right thing. Pfizer and Moderna are now doing it because they have many more people that they can study this with, and I expect we'll probably see data coming out on that within just the next couple of weeks.
So if you're asymptomatic, if you have the virus and you're asymptomatic, you have less virus, and therefore you're less less likely to spread it. Is that right?
Correct. So think about it. Even if you make antibodies for it and it stops, the vaccine makes antibodies and it stops you from getting the symptoms, you would think theoretically that would also decrease the viral load, which would make you less contagious even as an asymptomatic carrier. And that's exactly what they're proving right now with Pfizer and Moderna individuals who have been fully vaccinated.
You're in contact not only with your own people at Northwestern Medicine, but other doctors at other hospitals. And tell me about the vaccine supply. Are we getting enough? Is more coming? When will more age groups be able to get the vaccine? What do we know about this?
Yeah, if you listen to Dr. Fauci, who has probably the best inside track on it, you know, he says we're going to be in what he calls open season by April. That's certainly not what we're hearing right now, and I can tell you the frustration in Chicago is high and will probably go higher, and let me explain why. The supply that we are getting at the state level and all the way down to the local level has grown very slowly. So everybody who got their first shots are now getting ready to get their second shots. So we need the same number of vaccines that we were getting before just to fill the second shot slots. So until we get to a point where we're getting twice as much, will you continue to see those open slots for first vaccinations go up? So everyone is going to be a little frustrated because we've been told out here in DuPage County, don't expect anything for the next 2 weeks except your second shots. So we are not going to see a lot of opening. Now, the governor has decided that we're going to go to 1C here next week, which opens it up to everyone between the age of 16 to 64 with any health-related issues. But those include cancer, chronic kidney disease, COPD, diabetes, even something simple as obesity, pulmonary disease. So that is going to open it up to a lot of people who are now going to be looking, but the vaccine supply has not just pumped up. However, we do have Johnson & Johnson right around the corner, probably will be approved next week, and I would bet you that they will flood the market with at least 100 million doses here very quickly.
And that's a single dose, right?
Correct, which would take a ton of the logistics off of us trying to make sure that we get people that second dose, the right second dose, at the right time.
Dr. Kevin Most, would you sign a note for me saying for medical reasons the Bob Surratt Morning Show has to move to Hawaii for a while because of a vitamin D deficiency among our crew?
Sure, let me try to do the timing. If you're in Hawaii and you're calling me, yeah, that work out fine for me because you'd be calling me around noon.
Work out well for me. Talk to you next Monday.
You got it. Take care. Yeah.